Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be talking about a really fascinating Supreme Court case, Muskrat v. United States.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those cases that maybe isn't a household name like Brown v. Board of Education or Roe v. Wade, but it's incredibly important for understanding the relationship between the different branches of government.
Right. It's not so much about the specific legal issue at hand. It's really about the bigger picture.
Yeah.
You know, how our government is structured. And how the different branches interact with each other.
And in a way, it's sort of a case about the limits of power. You know, can Congress just use the Supreme Court as a way to get like a pre-approval on its laws? That's really the question at the heart of Muskrat.
Okay, so let's set the stage here for our listeners.
Yeah.
This case revolves around a bunch of acts that Congress passed between 1902 and 1906.
Mm-hmm.
And these acts all deal with Cherokee land allocation.
Yeah, it was kind of a messy situation. You had some acts expanding who is eligible for land and then others putting restrictions on selling or leasing it.
Right. So you can imagine how that would create some confusion and concern among the Cherokee people. Like, wait a minute, what are the rules here?
Absolutely. And, you know, you also have the issue of later laws potentially contradicting or undermining rights that were granted by earlier laws. So it's definitely a recipe for legal challenges.
And that's where things get really interesting, because instead of waiting for those legal challenges to kind of bubble up organically through the court system, Congress did something totally unprecedented.
Yeah, in 1907, they passed yet another act, but this one was really unusual.
This one authorized a group of Cherokee citizens, including a guy named David Muskrat, to sue the United States directly.
Basically challenging the constitutionality of those earlier acts that we were just talking about.
So Congress was essentially setting up the lawsuit, and they even went so far as to lay out the path for this case to go all the way up to the Supreme Court.
It's like they were saying, hey, Supreme Court, we made these laws, but we're not really sure if they're legit. Can you guys take a look and tell us what you think?
And this is where Article 3 of the Constitution comes into play big time.
Yeah.
You know, the one that outlines the powers of the judiciary.
Right, because it raises a fundamental question about the role of the Supreme Court. Can they just issue advisory opinions whenever Congress asks?
I mean, is that really what the Founding Fathers intended?
It's a really tricky issue because on the one hand, you can see why Congress might want some clarity on a law's constitutionality before it leads to, like, tons of litigation and chaos.
Right. Like, wouldn't it be more efficient to just get the Supreme Court's opinion up front and avoid all that?
But on the other hand, you have this principle of separation of powers.
Exactly. You know, those checks and balances that are supposed to prevent any one branch of government from becoming too powerful.
And the Supreme Court and Muskrat really had to wrestle with this dilemma. Like, where do we draw the line?
So what did they decide?
Well, the majority opinion was written by Justice Day.
Okay.
And they came down pretty firmly on the side of saying, no, Congress, you can't just use us as your personal legal counsel.
So they said they didn't have jurisdiction to hear the case.
Exactly. They said Article 3 limits them to deciding actual cases or controversies, not just hypothetical questions or requests for legal opinions.
So in a sense, they were saying, look, Congress, you make the laws, and we'll judge those laws when there's a real dispute between two parties, not just when you're having second thoughts.
Right. And, you know, there's this great quote from Justice Day's opinion that really gets to the heart of their concern.
Lay it on us.
He wrote, "The judgment would not bind private parties amounts to no more than an advisory opinion."
Wow. So he's basically saying that if they ruled on this case, it wouldn't actually resolve anything in the real world. It would just be like giving Congress a pat on the back or a slap on the wrist.
Precisely. And the court was really worried about setting that precedent because it could undermine their whole role as an independent check on the other branches of government.
Right. Like, they didn't want to become just a rubber stamp for Congress.
Exactly. They saw this as a slippery slope that could erode the separation of powers and ultimately weaken the whole system of checks and balances that our government is built on.
This is where that principle of separation of powers becomes so central to the case.
Absolutely. And the court's decision in Muskrat really underscored that point. They said, hey, we're not just an extension of Congress. We're a separate branch of government with our own distinct role to play.
And they were willing to stand their ground and defend that role, even if it meant telling Congress no.
It was a bold move, and it really set a precedent for how the court would handle these kinds of jurisdictional issues going forward.
Yeah, it's a reminder that the rules matter, even when they're inconvenient or seem inefficient.
Right. Those rules are there to protect us, to ensure that power is distributed fairly, and to prevent any one branch of government from becoming too dominant.
And Muskrat is a perfect example of how those rules can play out in practice sometimes in ways that we might not expect.
It's a fascinating case, and I think it raises a lot of important questions that are still relevant today.
For sure, and we'll be digging into some of those questions in more depth in the next part of our deep dive, so stay tuned. So by refusing to hear the case, the Supreme Court essentially drew a line in the sand, right?
Yeah, they basically said, look, Congress, you make the laws and we'll step in to judge those laws when there's like an actual conflict, a real world dispute, not just because you're having some doubts.
It's a powerful statement about the role of the judiciary.
Absolutely. And it's really about preserving that balance of power, you know, making sure that no one branch of government can just do whatever it wants.
Okay, but this raises kind of a tricky question, though, doesn't it? Like, what happens if Congress does want to know if a law is constitutional before it, you know, creates all kinds of chaos and litigation? Wouldn't it be more efficient to have some kind of mechanism for pre-checking laws?
That's a really interesting point, and it kind of gets to the heart of the debate over judicial review. You know, how much power should the court have to second-guess the actions of the other branches?
And on one hand, you can see the argument for efficiency, right?
Yeah.
Like, why wait for a problem to explode when you could potentially head it off at the pass?
Right. But then you have to think about the potential downsides, too.
Like what?
Well, for one thing, if the Supreme Court was constantly being asked to weigh in on hypothetical situations, they'd be totally bogged down. You know, they wouldn't have time to actually deal with the real disputes that are already flooding the court system.
And that could lead to some serious delays and backlogs.
Absolutely. And, you know, it could also create a chilling effect on the legislative process.
How so?
Well, imagine you're a member of Congress, and you know that any bill you propose is going to be subjected to this intense scrutiny by the Supreme Court before it even becomes law.
Yeah, I guess you might be less likely to propose anything too bold or controversial.
Exactly. You know, you'd be playing it safe all the time, and that could stifle innovation and prevent Congress from really addressing the pressing issues of the day.
So in a way, Muskrat is about striking that balance, you know, between the need for clarity and efficiency on the one hand, and the importance of preserving the separation of powers and legislative freedom on the other.
Right. And I think the court ultimately came down on the side of saying, look, we need to protect our role as a neutral arbiter of disputes. We can't be dragged into every legislative debate.
And what about the Cherokee people in all this? I mean, the court's decision didn't actually address the constitutionality of those land laws, right?
That's right. They basically just said, we can't rule on this case in this particular context.
So the legal questions just kind of remained unanswered.
Unfortunately, yeah, the Cherokee citizens were left in a kind of legal limbo.
That must have been incredibly frustrating for them. You know,
yeah.
They were caught in the middle of this power struggle between Congress and the Supreme Court, and their core concerns just got kind of swept aside.
Yeah, it's a reminder that these big constitutional questions often have very real human consequences.
And sometimes those consequences aren't pretty.
It also makes you think about the Founding Fathers and their vision for how our government should work.
Right. They were so wary of centralized power, and they put all these safeguards in place to prevent tyranny.
And Muskrat is a perfect example of how those safeguards are supposed to function. The Supreme Court stood up and said, we're not going to be bullied by Congress. We have a specific role to play, and we're going to stick to it.
And that's ultimately what makes this case so important. It's not just about some obscure land dispute. It's about the fundamental principles that underpin our entire system of government.
Exactly. It's about the rule of law, the separation of powers, and the limits of government authority.
It's a reminder that those rules matter even when they're not convenient or efficient.
Because ultimately, those rules are there to protect us, to ensure that power is used responsibly, and to preserve our freedoms.
Well said. It's amazing how a case that seems so procedural on the surface can actually reveal so much about the core values of our nation.
Right. It's a reminder that the law is a living, breathing thing, and that cases like Muskrat help to shape its evolution.
And we'll be exploring that evolution even further in the next part of our deep dive. So stay tuned. Okay, so we've talked about what the Supreme Court didn't do in Muskrat, right? They didn't rule on the constitutionality of those Cherokee land laws. But it does make you wonder, what are the options for Congress when they want some clarity on a law, without resorting to this kind of pre-clearance approach that the court rejected?
Well, yeah, it's not like the court completely shut the door on any kind of dialogue between the branches. Mm-hmm. I mean, Congress still has ways to seek legal guidance without stepping on the court's toes.
So what are those ways? Like, what are the alternatives?
Well, one option is to request opinions from, you know, legal experts within the government itself.
Oh, okay. So like who?
Well, one example is the Office of Legal Counsel. You know, they're part of the Justice Department, and they provide legal advice to the president and executive branch agencies.
I see. So Congress could go to them and say, hey, we're thinking about passing this law. What do you think? Any red flags?
Exactly. And the OLC could, you know, analyze the law's constitutionality and give Congress some feedback.
And that way, Congress could get some guidance without putting the Supreme Court in that awkward position of ruling on a hypothetical question.
Right. It's a way to have a dialogue and get some clarity without undermining the court's role as the ultimate arbiter of legal disputes.
So Muskrat really highlights the importance of respecting those boundaries between the branches of government.
Yeah, you know, it's like we were saying earlier, those rules are there for a reason. They're meant to ensure that power is distributed fairly and that no one branch becomes too dominant.
And ultimately, those rules protect all of us.
Exactly. They safeguard our freedoms and ensure that our government operates within the bounds of the Constitution.
All right, so let's zoom out for a second and recap the big takeaway from Muskrat v. United States. What's the key lesson here for our listeners?
I think the core message is that the Supreme Court is not a puppet of Congress. You know, they're an independent branch of government with their own distinct role to play in our system of checks and balances.
And by refusing to hear the case in Muskrat, the court sent a really powerful message about the importance of preserving that separation of powers.
Yeah, they basically said, look, we're not going to just rubber stamp whatever you guys come up with. We're going to exercise our own judgment, and we're going to stick to our core function, which is deciding real cases and controversies.
And that's a good thing, right? I mean, that's what protects us from overreach by any one branch of government.
Absolutely. You know, the rules of the game matter even when they're not convenient or efficient. They're there to protect our rights and ensure that our government operates in a fair and accountable way.
Well said. It's amazing how a case that might seem kind of dry and procedural on the surface can actually reveal so much about the fundamental principles that underpin our democracy.
Right. It's a reminder that the law is a living, breathing thing and that cases like Muskrat help to shape its evolution over time.
And hopefully this deep dive has given our listeners a better understanding of that evolution and the importance of the court's role in our system of government.
We always encourage our listeners to, you know, do their own research, dig deeper into these cases, and think critically about the issues at stake.
Yeah, because ultimately, understanding our legal system is about understanding our own rights and responsibilities as citizens.
It's about being informed, engaged, and ready to participate in the ongoing conversation about how our government should function.
So keep questioning, keep learning, and keep diving deep.
Until next time.
Thanks for listening, everybody.